Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 210 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric Wahlquist, and joining me this week, as he does each and every week, guys. He does it every week. His name is...
Jesse Paxcrud Wilson.
Paxcrud, buddy.
Sick.
Yeah.
And I got Russell Nisha sick.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're really just strengthening her immune system.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah. So that's not that's always a rough thing with a baby.
Yeah.
I would know.
She's not happy.
Yeah. That's a bummer, man. I thought we started a brand new PAX tradition this year.
Is it gonna be a tradition?
I have a feeling. I got a feeling that loading your hands up with sanitizing foam from a dispenser and then wiping it on someone's face is gonna become a tradition.
I call it cleansing.
Yeah. I cleansed everyone. Oh, man, I pull up the perfect cleanse against the Hex 19 guys.
Oh, jeez, what'd you do?
Well, we went to... So after PAX was over, we walked up to Capitol Hill and went to this place. It used to be called Von Trapp's. Now it's called the Rhine House. Have you been there?
No.
You would love it, dude. It's, like, right up your alley. But it's this place that is all German beers, 100% German beers. It's, like, they have elk... hanging on the walls. It's like a meat. It's like a dwarven mead hall, basically. And they have indoor bocce ball as well. It's a really cool place. But anyway, I went to the bathroom after a night of drinking and magic drafting there with the Hex 19 guys, and came out of the bathroom and noticed a... Actually, it wasn't even that. Like, they, when I was washing my hands, one of the dispensers was soap, and the other dispenser was foaming hand sanitizer.
Nice.
So I was like, perfect. So I loaded up, walked over there, did a double slap on Aaron and Brett, and then while Yuri was laughing, did a double slap on both his cheeks. So it was perfect one, guys. It's the great thing about the cleanse is that it's so gross and yet so sanitary at the same time.
Yeah. You can only get so mad about it.
It's not like something gross. You just rub it in, and then all of a sudden your face is clean.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone out there, just stay away from the eyes. Don't worry about the mouth. I got cleansed in the mouth a couple times. It was gross. But
I do think the cleanse is responsible for my sickness, though.
Why?
Because I subscribe to sewer rat theory, which is why I don't use soap in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And I eat stuff off of the ground.
Okay.
Because I try and build up, like, my skin fauna to be, like, a great wall of China-style defense. It's already so jam-packed full of yeast and bacteria that nothing else can survive.
Right.
And I think that when I was participating in cleansing and getting a bunch of sanitizer on my hands, I nuked my defenses. I blasted a hole in my own defenses, and that's where the germs came in.
Breaching the wall, man.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, I'm happy that I was able to make you sick.
I don't blame you, though.
Let me know how that goes. That's a bummer, dude. The PAX crud is always the worst, because like, you take time off for PAX, and then you get back, and then you're like, oh, I gotta take time off for sick.
Well, I couldn't take time off because there's things at work that only I can accomplish.
Well, there you go.
So I have to just work through it.
Oh, that's the worst, man. I apologize.
That's the thing, though, is if you're sick, you might as well be sick at work. Because work sucks anyway. It's work.
No, you don't want to be sick at work.
I'm not saying I want to be sick, but if I'm going to be sick, I might as well be making money while I do it.
I guess, but then you get everybody else at work sick, and then nobody can do anything.
That is their problem, not mine.
Anyway.
I'm saving my sick days for healthy vacation days.
Okay. So I had a great PAX, dude. And we'll get to PAX. But Jesus, man, I feel like this year was a good PAX.
I had a good time. I did exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that a little bit later.
It seemed like such a long weekend too. Yeah, but before we do, let's do a quick Kickstarter update, buddy. So we just sorry.
Oh yeah, I want to start by thanking everyone who's donated already. I've noticed a lot of names from the podcast for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's good or bad form to list them off. So well, just for now, I won't name names.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of support, but I still need a ton more support. Right now I'm sitting at 52 backers.
Yep, and you're about a quarter of the way there, which is pretty good.
Yeah, about 22-23% of the way there. Mm-hmm. But I really need to get that number of backers up to about 300 to make this thing successful, and that's at like the intermediary rewards level. So I do want to just take this time to suggest that we have some bundles where you're able to get like glassware and a t-shirt and a growler and stuff like that. I'm thinking if you buy those, you could split it up, and then you got like Christmas presents taken care of. Give it to your dad and, you know, your sister-in-law and your best friend. Buy one of the bundles, split it up, get that Christmas shopping out of the way for all the geeks and the beer nerds in your life.
Yeah, and for anybody who may have missed last week's show, Jesse's opening his own brewery, and he's kickstarting it right now. You can find that by Googling Lovecraft, all one word, Brewing Company. In fact, if you type in Lovecraft into the search on Kickstarter, it's the first thing that pops up. Yeah, please donate. You know, I know, like I said, you've had a ton of support from the listeners, and I'm sure there's a few listeners out there who want to give but haven't done it yet, and the only thing I would say is give early, because, you know, some of the rewards are definitely limited in quantity. So as with any Kickstarter, you want to give early so that you can take advantage of those sweet, sweet rewards.
And the extra support that I get early provides momentum, mm-hmm. and Kickstarter lists things based off of the number of backers. So
right.
If I can get that number of backers up early, I'll get more visibility, and I can get more people who just stumble upon it.
There you go. Be that.
So I really need your help. Everyone, if you're thinking about donating, please, please do. You can make my and my family's dream come true and open a brewery.
Do it. Yeah, be that giant ball at the beginning of Indiana Jones, except this time we catch him. Let's get that momentum going. So yeah, that's Lovecraft Brewing Company on Kickstarter. So please check that out, guys. If you want to support the podcast, that's the way to do it. Let's get on to some listener feedback this week. We got a ton of it. So we're going to start off, geez, so many things. Start off with this voicemail from the 757. I believe this is none other than our good buddy over in Virginia. Here he is.
Hey, Jesse and Eric. I just found out that there's a place around here that actually sells in Virginia. I'm not going to cry here, by the way, again, even though I already know you know who I am. I found out there is actually a place around here that actually sells the Arrogant Bastard, which means I'm going to go and pick it up, which I'm going to go pick it up today because it's Labor Day weekend, and I'm going to enjoy myself a little bit this weekend. Maybe not get, probably not going to get trashed or anything, but of course. But you all mentioned last week either the prank call the listeners, which I think is hilarious, or the idea of having a segment with listeners, which I would love to be in. Involved with, but you never know. Whatever happens, happens. I definitely want to hear more about that D&D group if you're going to start that up. But, Jesse, I am very, very excited for the fact that you're starting your own brewery. I hope to God you get funded, because I will definitely be buying some of your beers. And if I got to wait for them to get imported over here, so be it. Alright, though. Alright, guys. Stay arrogant and get off my back.
Thank you, Michael. I hope that he was able to try that Arrogant Bastard. In fact, I think he might have called us back right afterwards. But I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to listen through these. Oh, this is a different one. This one comes to us from the 706. No transcript available. This is very eerie. Mm-hmm. Let's check this one out.
Thank you, Michael.
Don, you Google Voice. You messed up my good voicemail last week. This is Will from Alabama. Calling from last week. To remind you guys about the cool story I shared that totally got cut off. It was awesome. So I'm a raft guide now down in the Chattahoochee River, down in Columbus, Georgia. Anyway, some folks up yonder from up you around your park, things like Woodenville or Woodenville, I don't know. You guys probably pronounce it funny up there. Anyway, so back to the story. So we were all rafting and having a good time. They were talking about, I don't know, Seahawks. How they're like the greatest team ever, and they were just blah, blah, blah on about that. Figured you'd guys appreciate it and all. And that's all my my Seattle trivia / knowledge is from you guys. So I was like, yeah, I totally know of guys that live in Seattle and Bremerton. They were like, oh, yeah, cool. Towns that we know of and have heard about. And we had this cool little moment. And that's when the guy tried to jump on the back. It's when I flipped him in the rapid. I think you guys sent him on like a hidden mission or something. Anyway, whatever. Will from Alabama. His story's cut off. The guy's got a crazy voice message system. Anyways, I think supposed to end with questions so to put on the air. Crap. Yeah. Let me think of a good one.
Waiting on beta right here.
Favorite pizza topping. Favorite kind of beer to eat with pizza. I don't know. My brain, my imagination was messing up on me at the end there. Anyway, so guys, stay arrogant. Man, get off my back.
I'm so happy that he called back.
Will has a lot of Aaron in his voice.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the Alabama meets Atlanta.
Yeah,
it must be.
Good sound. I don't think we talk about the Seahawks that much.
Yeah, just wait. This week we don't. By the way, sausage, my favorite pizza topping.
Mine is salami and feta.
Well, that's like fancy pizza. I'm talking about like Pizza Hut pizza.
Man, I will go to the Safeway and get one of their regular cheese pizzas and a package of salami and some feta cheese and make it at home.
Hello.
On the cheap, and it's really good.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like it. I love more of it. That's got to be more of a Woodinville thing. I mean, Woodinville.
You mean Woodinville?
Woodinville, home of Red Hook Brewing Company. Reed Hook Brewing Company. That's the classic Woodinville accent. Those guys are crazy. So, Will, thanks so much for calling in. I think my quest this week, Jesse, is going to be to make you laugh as much as possible, just so that you die of coughing.
I got a strong case of smoker's laugh going on.
There you go. Best prank ever. Oh, here it is. Here's the Redux from the 757. This is the sequel to Michael McBride's first call. Here it is.
Hey, Jesse and Eric, Michael, as always, from this number. Unless somebody's stealing my phone and calling y'all and I don't know about it yet. But whatever. Just figured I'd tell you some bad news. I couldn't make it to... I made it to that store I told you about, but they were all out of the arrogant batch when I got there. I was so sad. But I got to do something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time. I got to get some of the craft beers around here. But there was one beer that I just had to tell you about. It wasn't that good of a taste, but I just thought it was hilarious, the name of it and what the flavor combination it was. It was called Sweet Baby Jesus. Brewed by some brewery over in Baltimore, Maryland. And it is chocolate and peanut butter. It was nasty. But it's like, it's one of those beers like, yeah, if I was kind of drunk already, I'll take it. But I got to try some breweries that are like literally, I think one was less than 10 miles from my house, and another one that was probably about maybe 20 minutes. So, some of those beers were great. I had one that was an IPA that was okay, but I had a great selection of craft beers that I'm going to be getting into. Thank you for turning me into a beer snob. I was Nick, because before this, all I used to drink was basically Miller and Bill and Bud Light. So, yeah. Thank you for broadening my horizon. And as always, stay arrogant. Get off my back.
Get off my back, Michael. That's always, I love that. When people call in and they're like, hey, I used to drink shit beer and now I drink craft beer. Just because of you guys. That's like one of the best compliments that we get, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I love it, man. And also that chocolate peanut butter, that's like every other place at Strange Brew Fest in Port Townsend is the peanut butter cup stout.
Yeah, I've never had a good one. I just don't think it's meant to be. Peanuts are, like, the flavor of peanut is an oil.
Yeah.
it's hydrophobic,
yeah.
So it's just not going to mix well with something that is based on water.
However, I do feel like there's like two aftertastes of arrogant bastard, and I think that one of them is a peanut butter sandwich.
You can get peanut butter flavor,
yeah.
That's not, you know, peanuts, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me, buddy.
There you go.
Love it. Coming up
well,
next...
peanuts are roasted, just like, you know, barley is.
Yeah, that's true.
So, part of that is
a little roasty flavor. Oh, I think we got a new listener calling in. Jerry says, hot fudge, holy moly, Eric plays geeks who drink pub quizzes. I'm a GWD quizmaster. How I am just finding this out after 178 episodes. Even though I'm based in Orange County, California, I'm very excited to hear you mention us. Where do you quiz? I wonder if I know your QM. Stay geeky, drinky, and arrogant, fellas. Jerry, he says, give it a second. It's going to space. From Louis C.K. That's a great quote. I love that. Yeah, dude. It's great. I don't know if... I mean, I can tell you. I actually don't still geeks who drink. That's more of a winter sport in my world. It's when I'm not playing softball that I do geeks who drink. But yeah, I geeks who drink down in Seattle, the Dubliner, during the wintertime. So I feel like it's a really good pub quiz. I also am a little worried, Jerry, because I don't think you're actually going to hear this for like 50 episodes because it seems like you're a little behind. Is that too rough? He's on episode 178.
Well, you know, who knows at what kind of pace he's making.
That's true. This could be a little Christmas present for him.
Some people actually binge through this show, which is weird to me.
I actually
forget that people listen to it when I'm recording it. Now I'm all aware and I'm weirded out.
I know. It's the weirdest thing about this, Jesse, is somebody's going to be listening to this episode in like a year for the first time.
Donate to the Kickstarter.
Please, guys. Please. Yeah, I mean, that's the weird thing about it. If we have one thing at all, we have content. So
we do that. We do.
That we do. Put it in your ears, guys. I love it. We got another voicemail. This one comes to us from the 315. This is an interesting area code. Let's take a listen.
And Jesse, this is Jeff from New York. And I'm calling in for the first time in quite a while. I actually have not been able to catch an episode of the podcast this December. I got a new job in January, and life kind of took off from there, and my podcast listening time actually went down tremendously. And part of the reason I'm calling in is to let you guys know that for 9 month hiatus from the podcast, it's like I just was listening to it yesterday. Now I want to kudos to you guys for having a podcast that's so accessible that you can miss 9 months worth of episodes and basically jump right in where you left off. Two quick notes based off the last couple weeks' episodes. Eric, I loved your comment last week about how American names with actors and especially baseball players can be kind of boring and just unoriginal. Took me back to when I was a little bit younger, and there was a pitcher for the Devil Rays that when I saw his name, I read it as Jesus Colom, but it actually turned out to be pronounced Jesus Colome. So, you know, the far Americanization of names that we have. And listening to some of your game discussion the last few weeks, I was wondering if either of you guys have ever played Five Nights at Freddy's on Steam. I'm not going to say that much about it. You can kind of research that. People think it's a great horror game. Happy to get to see you guys again. Looking forward to new episodes. Get off my back.
Get off my back, Jeff. Five Nights at Freddy's. Have you heard of this game, Jesse?
No, this is new to me.
So it's basic. I watched a playthrough of it on Polygon with your boy, Griffin McElroy. Your boy. Your doppel. So it's basically a game. Did you watch that documentary about the Rockefeller explosion?
No.
On Netflix. It's like this animatronic band that was at this place called...
Oh, yeah, I did watch that.
Yeah, it's at this place called Showtime Pizza Place.
Yeah.
It was eventually bought by Chuck E. Cheese. And basically this game is that you're trapped in a Showtime Pizza Place. And the animatronic animals are coming alive and coming to kill you. and you are trapped in the office, and all you can do is look at the security cameras to see where they're at, because they, like, move around. And then you have, like, limited power to look at these cameras and limited power to turn on the lights and shut this door to your office. And if you could survive till 6 a.m. without them killing you, then you get to move on to the next level. I originally was like, I don't really like this. I don't really like the graphics. But I watched the playthrough and I was like, I kind of need to play this game.
It sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrifying, but in like a goofy way.
Oh, it's goofifying.
It's goofifying, which is great. That's like the best kind of terrifying is the goofifying.
Mm.
So yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's. I want to try it. That's on Steam. So check that out. Jeff, thanks so much for calling in. Jeez, we got a ton of feedback this week, guys. Thanks for blowing us up. We enjoy that. Howard says, hello from North Dakota. Hello from Grand Forks, North Dakota, home of UND, North Dakota hockey, and winters that will freeze your nipples off.
UND is my new college football team.
Oh, yeah? I don't even know what conference they're in.
Apparently, they're like, I think they're like Division II, but they kick butt or something like that. Apparently, they're good.
Like Eastern Washington, sir?
I don't know.
Go Eagles. I've been listening to you guys for about a year and a half now, and inspired by the first time emailer you had a couple weeks ago, I decided I would send you a note. Unlike said former emailer, however, I love craft beer, board games, video games, comic books, fantasy football, and all things Lovecraftian, though I think you two are kind of jerks. Why?
Uh-oh.
Simple. Having spent my formative years in the Black Hills of South Dakota and having attended graduate school in Denver, Colorado, I have been a huge Broncos fan since the days of the Orange Crush. All I have to say is screw Seattle, screw Russell Wilson, screw Richard Sherman, and screw you all on and on and on and on and on about how awesome the Seahawks are. Thank you.
Someone's a little upset.
Someone's a little upset, dude. I mean, I guess you can't be content with three Super Bowl rings. You need a fourth.
Hey, how's your boy Wes Welker doing?
Oh, geez. He says, now, down to more important business. Last week, someone sent an email wondering about suggestions for games he could play with his wife. Well, my wife and I love playing games together, and our absolute favorite is Pandemic. I know it's a little more fun with 3 to 4 players, but we always have a good time with it. We also play Carcassonne, Castle Ravenloft, though we each play 2 characters when playing this one, and Castle Panic. Castle Panic has the added bonus that it's easy for my children to play as well, and they are 10 and 5. We have to coach the 5-year-old a little bit, but he still loves it. Anyway, in all seriousness, I want you guys to know that I love your show. It's a highlight of my podcast week, and if you ever fail to give me at least one laugh out loud moment as I'm driving to and from work, I guess it never fails. I thought he was giving me an ultimatum there. He says, I'm really excited to hear about the Kickstarter campaign to fund a new brewery, and I will definitely kick in a few dollars to see it go. Dream big, work hard, have fun. That's the only way to live life. Get off my running back and get off my Denver Broncos. Peace from Soda Pops. Jeez, man, that's a good email.
Yeah.
A little bit of trash talk, a little bit of love, a little bit of advice. It's like an episode of Dr. Phil.
I can't believe I forgot Carcassonne when I was talking about 2-player games. Mm-hmm. Fantastic 2-player game.
Great 2-player game. Yeah, excellent 2-player game. And readily available at a lot of different places.
And in my opinion, just stick with the base game. Don't even worry about the expansions.
I will say this, though. Soda Pops here. He needs to know that when I play Madden... And this is a problem. When I played Madden 09, this was easy peasy. Madden, the new Maddens, they don't allow me to do this. I would always move the team to Fargo, North Dakota.
Mm.
I'd move the Steelers to Fargo, North Dakota, make them the Fargo Badlanders, and win like 5 Super Bowls with them. That was how I played Madden. So he can't be completely mad at me from a football perspective. That's all I'm saying. And then finally, oh God, we got a call. Oh, I'm so excited about this. From none other than Mr. Rolo Tomasi. Here he is.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Eric. It's your man, Rolo Tomasi from New York or Toronto. but definitely Canada. Anyways, I've been a little bit behind on your cast lately, and I just heard the one you guys were talking about Blue Jays fans going to Mariners games and complaining about their driving and all that crap. I'll make it clear that it's not all Canadians. It's just those ones in British Columbia. And let's say Vancouverites, they speak for themselves. So anyways, don't be hating the rest of Canada. I scored some tickets to Fan Expo this weekend, and it was pretty cool. That's like the Comic-Con of Canada, or Toronto, I should say. And it was all right. I mean, it felt a little bit weird because there's all the celebrities, and it felt like they were kind of like on display, like at a zoo, and you got to pay $50 plus for an autograph. Boom. So that was pretty stupid. But I got to meet this guy named Wolf Cop, and you'll never believe it, but he's Wolf, and he's a cop, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure that it's like a romantic comedy, but either way, it seems like a cool movie. Jesse, I'm really stoked about your brewery. I hope you make $10,000 at the end of this cast, so everyone donate lots of money. And even if you don't make that 30 grand, just do it anyways. Huh. You know what? Screw anyone who tells you that you can't. One last thing really quick. Listeners, let's do it. Personal Arrogance Dungeon and Dragons League. Let's make it happen. All right, anyways, get off my back and stay arrogant.
Thank you so much, Rollo.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Rollo was on that honorable list of donators.
That's awesome, man. I love the idea. There's also the idea of exchange rates, and I'm not trying to put anybody on blast here, but your dollar goes a little dollar or pound goes a little bit further if you live on mainland Europe. So just saying. Once again, guys, find Lovecraft Brewing Company on Kickstarter. Rollo, please send us more voicemails, man. I love the Canadian accent. I haven't got enough of Canadians this weekend. I like, you know. I hung out with the Hex19 guys. They're from Edmonton. You can check them out. Hex19, I believe it's just hex19.com, the number 19. They do the Hex19 Geekcast. The nicest fellas.
Yeah.
I could fucking hang out with those guys forever.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing about them is that they were, so they, super last minute coming to PAX. And luckily we were able to snag them some passes from Aaron and Jim. But they needed to find a hotel room that was economical and close. So they ended up staying over in Bellevue right on I-90 so they could just catch the bus straight to the convention center. It was very good planning on their part. But they were trying to save a few shekels, and they got a single room with a single king-size bed.
Oh, and they were all snuggled up?
They snuggled. I love it.
I thought your favorite thing about them was that they clapped for the winner.
That was that's also games. Dude, that's also so nice. It's yeah. So nice. There's
we
such
need to implement that.
Yeah. We could get to that with our PAX coverage. But yes, I mean, they're great sports. They're awesome to play games with. They're engaged. They listen to the rules. They strategize. They give you a run for your money. And then they're great sports about it. So in other words, they're completely the opposite of the Jay Conspiracy.
I don't listen to the rules because I'm the one delivering them.
Exactly.
I do want to say, can confirm, British Columbians are just the worst behind the wheel of a car.
They
if
are
there
bad.
Was, if there was ever a group of people who need robot cars to just take over, it's British Columbians.
I swear to God, I look around Seattle, and like whenever there's this bad driver, I always take a glance at the license plate. Uh-huh. Surprising amount of BC license plates.
Oh, they stink.
They're terrible.
They're the worst.
They're hosers they're, behind
it's
the wheel.
It's anarchy on the highway.
Exactly. So anyway, very, very excited about all the Canadian stuff happening on the podcast right now. And I'm going to Canada a week from Saturday. So
mm-hmm. You're going to the aforementioned British Columbia. We'll see if Vancouver Island is more driver friendly.
That's true. I've only actually British Columbia is the only place I've ever been in Canada.
Not true. You've what? Been to Victoria before.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying it's the only place I've ever been in Canada.
Sorry, I thought you said Vancouver. But no, you've been to Vancouver.
Yeah, British Columbia is the only province that I visited ever.
I'm sick.
Now that we're on the same page, let's move on to the PAXies. All right, guys. PAXies, fourth annual PAXies. I didn't mention it before, but Jesse and I are both wearing tuxedos. These are the personal targets. that's the panfy. That's the panfies. maybe I'm getting your crud. It's the PAXies Personal Arrogance Exposition Experience Awards. And this is our fourth edition. Now, on all the other editions of the PAXies, we have had an impartial judge to decide the categories, but we were way too lazy and slash sick for that this year. So we're just going to give our nominees, and that's going to be the PAXies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to start off with fan favorite, dude. Weirdest thing.
I got a good one for this.
Okay.
And it hit really early.
Okay.
Basically, the moment we stepped on the exhibition floor, yep. There was some game that had this weird, like, dragon that was supposed to be like a mechanical bull, except mm-hmm. It was nerfed. And it was barely, like, spinning around, rotating at all, so there was a heavy-set fella yep. Just sitting on top of this dragon with padding all around, barely spinning around. Although, actually, I think that might be a runner-up.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just remembering it now.
Yep.
The true weirdest thing.
Okay.
Also on the exhibition floor.
Yes.
They had set up some sort of wrestling ring where yes. People were wrestling. Was this your weirdest thing?
Well, it was definitely. I have another one just in case you picked this one, but it was a Far Cry 4 booth.
Right. Oh, was it Far Cry 4?
Far Cry 4. Yeah.
So they were getting people, attendees, and putting them in full animal suits with, like, mm-hmm. Animal mask, helmet, yeah,
furry. They were furry suits.
They were furry suits,
yeah.
Which, ew, gross.
Mm-hmm.
And put them in a wrestling ring, and they were, like, trying to take each other down.
Right.
And I had this weird moment because I was in a room that might be the most advanced area of media on the planet at that point in time. And everyone's just gathered around watching people slam into each other in fursuits. And I'm, yep. Why am I watching this? And I just turned around and was like, I'm immediately just more interested in the guy playing a video game right behind me. Yet there's a huge crowd of people just watching people slam into each other in fursuits. That's not what PAX is about.
So you had a major problem with this.
I did.
And I loved it.
It's so stupid.
I loved it. I mean, I would do it if they had, like, new suits for every person, just because you're definitely getting PAX flu. Those are just incubators for PAX flu, those helmets.
And petri dishes.
They had four suits for the whole weekend. They had an elephant, they had a bear, they had a snow leopard, and they had a honey badger. So they had four suits for the whole weekend. They're cycling people through these things. And you get in the ring, and then it's like sumo rules. So basically, if you push the other guy over to the ground, or if you pin him up against the side of the cage, they had an octagon. It was like a UFC octagon.
Also, weight classes be damned.
Yeah, weight classes absolutely be damned. I could not look away, though.
Oh, God, I was disgusted.
I thought it was awesome. Why are you so worked up about this?
Because it's a nothing. It's a zero. It's just people in suits slamming against each other. Turn around and look at the amazing video games that thousands of people put millions of man hours and millions of dollars into.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm way more interested in the dude in a leopard suit slamming against an elephant.
Does that not say something about humanity, though?
No, it does, and it says something bad about it.
Why?
Because
I feel like
stupid monkeys.
I feel like if somebody likes your art, there's something wrong with them. That's what I feel like.
What?
I don't know.
Okay, what's your weirdest thing?
The other weirdest thing to me was a Paxitory, which is like the purgatory of PAX that we got stuck in.
What do you mean?
So we got your last night there, you like stuck around for an extra few hours.
Oh,
and we got
to
go play Pathfinder. And before, they had like a whole set of, it was like a string of rooms set up. So you like signed up to play Pathfinder and then you were like, got your name called. But, like, this is the closest thing I have ever experienced to communist Russia, as I understand it, is this room, the Pathfinder waiting room. Because you couldn't leave. really, because you might miss your, because it was just a single dude walking out and saying someone's name and then walking away.
If you wanted to play, you couldn't leave.
You could not leave the room. It smelled terrible. It was full of people just staring at each other. Also, the Pathfinder Adventure card game, they were demoing it in there. It was like the weirdest customs office you've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole experience started to freak me out a little bit until we moved over into the corner. Because there was a closet there, and I feel like I could escape into at least an island of solitude if I really needed to.
Yeah, you had an out.
Yeah, exactly. And also, the closet was really was like stacked full of Pathfinder books and board games and stuff. I was like, I could totally just jack all this stuff, but I won't because I'm an American citizen. Mm-hmm. And even though I feel like I'm in the book 1984, I will respect the laws of my land.
Right.
So that was my weirdest thing. But I think that, I mean, the fact that we both thought of Far Cry 4, I think lands Far Cry 4's weirdest thing.
Mm.
All right. So what do you want to move on to? You want to move on to best cosplay? This is a good one.
Sure.
Do you have one for best cosplay?
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
What do you have?
There is a dude who is dressed up like an Uruk-hai.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, that guy wins.
Yeah, it took me a second because I was like, for a second, I was like, he looked exactly like the Uruk-hai from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, he went all out. Like, he definitely had the build for it.
Yeah, he was jacked.
Yeah, but he also, like, had the mask. He had great makeup. He had the ears were, like, seamless. And he had, like, the weird mask thing on his face. It was, like, dead on. So I got to give it to that guy.
What about the guy we played that Fantasy Flight game with who was dressed as a dwarf?
I don't think he was dressed as a dwarf.
Pretty sure he was dressed as a dwarf.
I think that he goes in for weirdest thing as well.
Yeah, he was a pretty weird guy.
He's a pretty weird guy. But you're right, though. I mean, he was dwarven. He definitely had some kind of dwarven thing going on. I saw like a really good Fallout 3 cosplay with like the New California Republic dude. But yeah, I think it goes to the Uruk-hai. This is actually legitimate cosplay. I was just like impressed by it.
Like, at what part did the play leave cosplay? Because cosplay used to be like you dress up and then you play a role playing game.
Yeah, well. Or you just act in that character.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what cosplaying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought there were, you had to be like playing a RPG.
No, 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 no. That's LARPing, basically.
Hmm.
I mean, cosplay is that you're in character. Like, I saw a dude on the last day, I was lined up for Payton Take, and there was this dude who walked through with his full Fallout 3, soldier garb on, and he was in full character.
Yeah.
He was, like, walking through being like, move along, move along. He's having That's a great funny. Time.
Yeah.
But Good nobody nobody was moving along.
No, there's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go. Want to move on to worst of show?
Sure. What do you have?
This is our time to gripe a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Although, I really think that the worst thing that I played at PAX, it's kind of a toss-up. But I think from a disappointment stand-up, I got to play Sunset Overdrive and was not super excited about that game. And it's kind of one of the hyped titles for Xbox One, but it was weird. It was like Tony Hawk meets a third-person shooter with a bad camera, and they were like giving you points. It was a horde mode, so like they just keep throwing enemies at you, but you got more points for sliding around on rails than you did for killing enemies.
Hmm.
So they did give me a penny arcade pin, which was cool, but I think Sunset Overdrive was probably my biggest disappointment of the show. I don't know. But then there's also The Witcher board game, which I didn't really love.
Yeah, Witcher board game would be my worst in show.
It's weird, though, because it's not a bad game. It's just not a good game. Like, I don't feel like it falls into bad game territory.
I think it would really only be worth buying if you're, like, a Witcher super fan.
But even then, I mean, you're an Alien super fan and you hated Colonial Marines.
Well, that was an objectively bad game, though.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about this game is that so Witcher, the board game, we got to play that. It's in beta right now. So we're one of the first people to play this game. So maybe it'll change by the time it comes out. But it was just like, it was just so meh. It was like the mehest adventure game that I've ever played. Like, compared to Arkham Horror, which is a great game and I love, and it's my favorite game, which is also an adventure game, this game was just like, you're just going right through that, right through those motions. Like, there was
you kind of just roll around and do counters and try and roll the correct dice.
Mm-hmm.
And that the things I don't like about it is, apparently it's competitive, but it's just a race to get to X amount of points first.
Yeah.
And also, like, your character can never die.
Right.
You can just get hurt and have to spend time, like, healing up.
Oh, you can die, though. If you fill up with wound tokens, you die.
I don't think that's true.
No, it is true.
I think in the rules it said you can't die.
I read it in the rules. You die if you fill up with wounds.
And then what? You're out of the game?
Yeah, I guess so. So you could sit around for the next 3 hours while your friends play. I mean, it is really easy to heal up, but it was just so meh. I mean, it was just like, I didn't get it. I didn't get a lot of excitement out of it, and especially being a Fantasy Flight product. So it was a bummer. It was a little bit of a bummer, and that's how we started the show. So I don't know.
XCOM.
I know. I will give an honorable mention, though, to Worse Than Show, to the board game library location.
Yeah, that sucked.
For this. Because we love to play board games. And it was great because this year at PAX, they had a whole hotel, two floors of a hotel dedicated to tabletop gaming. The problem was they didn't put the board game library there. They put the board game library literally five blocks away at the convention center. So if you wanted to rent a board game, you had to rent it there, you know, check it out there, and then bring it five blocks over to this hotel and then bring it five blocks back.
Yeah.
So
dealing with crowds and waiting in line in the process.
Yeah. And then at night, you know, that's kind of when the tabletop area thrives, is at night, because the expo hall is closed. All of the concerts and panels are done. So people want to play board games, and then, but there just wasn't any space for them to play. There's probably plenty of space over at the Red Lion, which is where they had two floors full of tabletop stuff. But like I said, you would have to check out the game and then walk five blocks to go play it. It was ridiculous. And
also, they called it the Red Lion, but it had recently rebranded to the Motif.
Yes. It's a great motif, by the way. So anyway, that's our gripes. That's the gripe session. That's a pretty good gripe session.
Yeah, I think so.
So let's move on to PAX Attendee of the Year. This one's tough because this one has been Eli the Exhausted Ewok like every year.
I just didn't see him this time.
I saw him on Monday.
Oh, did you?
I did. I made a flyby and he was looking exhausted, but I don't think I can in my right mind give it to him.
Mm. Do you have a nominee?
Well, the funny thing here, Jesse, is I feel like we got to nominate the dwarf man.
Oh, God.
And by the way, he's not an actual dwarf. He's not, like
no,
medically
a
dwarf.
No, he was a tall man.
Tall man who looks like a dwarf from Lord of the Rings.
So right.
I just want to clarify that. Like, if the hairiest of fingers, wearing an earring, large
facial hair.
Large facial hair, unkempt facial hair, if you will. And also barreled through. I mean, he barreled. I think he personified the word barreled. He barreled through the game room and barreled into our game.
Right.
Which I feel like is what a good dwarf does.
He didn't take no for an answer.
I don't know, man. I don't know if he qualifies, but I feel like he had the PAX spirit in some respect. He decided, I'm going to go to PAX and I'm going to elbow my way into everything. And he did that. At least in our little world.
Mm. My attendee of the year nomination goes to the man that you hit in the face with your homemade camera rig.
Mm-hmm.
Although, in the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, coincidentally, the one guy that you hit in the face because he had this giant protrusion sticking out of your backpack, and you're spinning left and right with reckless abandon. You hit one man, and he happened to be wearing a mask, which was nice. We just shrugged it off and kept going.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good PAX attendee.
Yeah, he had a good spirit about it. He's like, well, good thing I wore my mask.
You got to roll with
moving
the punches.
On.
And by the way, Jesse, I was spinning wildly because I was looking at your PAXI's nomination for Weirdest Thing, the dude that on is... the weird convenience store nickel ride that they called a dragon bull ride.
That was really the highlight of my PAX experience, that twofer. Seeing that guy and then seeing you hit the masked guy in the face.
All I remember is you and Levi laughing, and then I was like, I don't know if you're laughing at me or at the thing or both.
What's the combo?
Yeah, and then I was like trying to be really, really careful with that thing, and then you like just grabbed it, so you're like...
I grabbed it so that no more harm could be done.
All right, I think it goes to masked guy.
Yeah, he took it in the face like a champ. That would have been like MXC Most Extreme Elimination of the Day material.
Love it. All right, Jesse, it's time, buddy. It's time for Best of Show. What was your favorite thing at PAX this year?
Oh, geez. I didn't really PAX it up that hard is the thing.
What do you mean?
Oh, I guess Star Realms is my Best of Show.
Oh, hello, hello.
So Star Realms is a card player. Again, talking about good two-player games. It's a card game that plays in about 20, 30 minutes, and you get all the cards you need. The entire game is contained in one deck of cards that's like 150 cards or so, probably, maybe just about 100. And thematically, it's like the space game, but it's a really slick deck-building game that that's really well-balanced and just a ton of fun to play. So if you're looking for two-player games, that's something I'd definitely check out. I picked mine up for $15, which is a steal.
Yeah, and I think that's about the running price of it. This apparently was the darling of both Gen Con and what was the other one? Cool Stuff Con or whatever.
I only picked it up because we were in the board game library, and you're like, let's pick up the game that has the most copies.
Yeah.
And I was like, how about this one? I picked it up as a joke because it was like a stack three high. And you're like, actually, apparently that's really good. I checked it out and played it with Levi. And I was like, I kind of want to buy this.
Yeah, and for $15, I mean, it's a good, I feel like it's a good game investment. It's really right. Cool. It's a deck builder drafting game, basically, sort of. Because based on the deck that you build, you can draft better cards, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, there's like four factions that kind of have thematic abilities, and you receive bonuses for playing multiple cards from the same faction.
Yeah.
So it encourages you not to just go after the best card, but kind of go after cards that are linked together via faction.
And apparently, sorry.
Some do like more damage than others. Some give you more money. Some help you regain life. And it's pretty slick.
It's a slick game. And apparently it was created by a couple of Magic the Gathering world champions. So I can't recommend that game enough. I mean, that's one of those games, it's like you have no reason not to own this game.
Right.
It's cheap, it's fun, it's awesome. Star Realms. That's a good pick for Best in Show. And then I'm going to pick Evolve, dude. This game rules.
Yeah, apparently it was good.
It's really good. It's Evolve. It comes out from it's from 2K, and it is a game that I just love this game. It's basically created from Turtle Rock Studios, the guys who brought you Left 4 Dead. It's like the same team that made Left 4 Dead, like went off and then created this game. And you have four hunters, they're called, and they're competing, trying to take down this one monster. And the four hunters are played by four players. The one monster is also played by a player. And they're called, I can't remember what they're called, but they're basically like, the story behind it is that they're trying to clear out planets for human colonization. So trying to clear out all these big monsters on this planet. It's so good, dude. It is so entertaining. So there are four different types of hunters. There's the assault guy, the trapper, the medic, and the what is he called? Support. And I got to play as the trapper, the assault, and the support. and just so much variability, really good stuff. You know me, I'm not great at first-person shooters, but I was able to contribute in this game because, like, as I was playing as the hunter, you're setting traps and stuff, and you don't really need to have any first-person shooter skills to set traps. You just need to, like, be in the right place at the right time. Not to mention you're competing against a giant freaking monster, so he's pretty easy to hit. Played three matches of this, got to play with a couple of the devs from Turtle Rock. It was so good. And everybody who I talked to who played the game loved it. So it's coming out in February. It's called Evolve. And it's going to be on PC, Xbox, and PS3. So please check that game out. It is so good. Really, really liked it. I could totally see us playing that game.
PS3?
PS4.
Oh, okay.
I also, honorable mention here, I got to try the PS4 controller. That thing is fucking sick.
Yeah,
I loved it, man. It's so comfy. And, like, they got over the one thing that I hated about PlayStation controllers, which is the floppy thumbsticks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want a little tension to my thumbstick, and they brought that to me. And it's it fits in your hands a lot more comfortably than the Xbox 360. So if you're keeping track of Eric's console tally to the point, heading toward that inevitable point where I finally pick one up, PS4 actually got a little boost this PAX for me. Between playing on PS4s and playing on Xbox Ones, I was like, I kind of like the feel of the PS4 a little better. And I got to play The Order 1886 on PS4, and the graphics were insane. So, I don't know, man. It's ticking up for me on that one.
Mm.
So that's the PAXes this year, man. How do you feel about PAX overall?
I think that next year I'm probably going to come out on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
do the pub crawl, do Sunday, and then call it.
Yeah, I mean, 4 days is a ton.
I've still never done 4 days. Well, I did not do 4 days, and when I was driving back on Sunday night getting sick, I was happy with my decision.
Are you... I just feel like we kind of did all the video game stuff on Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday was all board game stuff. And then for me, Monday was like board games, a little bit of Expo Hall, and then I went to the Omegathon final.
Mm.
But by the time Monday rolled around, Friday seemed like it was so far in the past.
Yeah.
But dude, honestly, I really do feel like this PAX was one of my favorite PAXes ever. I don't know if you got that vibe, but I got that vibe from this PAX. And I didn't. You didn't?
No. I just don't think I can really enjoy a PAX like I used to.
Well, I feel like it wasn't so much the games or the buzz or being in the PAX environment, but the people, man. The people that we got to hang out with this time, I feel like we got to diversify a little bit more than we usually do. Hanging out with Nick and James, and got to meet up with a couple guys from my softball team, and got to hang out with the Hex 19 guys. I look back on this past weekend and I just think of all these amazing experiences I had with so many different people. And that's one of the things that I love about PAX, is just like, let's get together and let's do some stuff. What are we doing next? I mean,
yeah, Jim and Aaron can suck a lemon.
I know. They can only make it better. I'd also like to give an honorable mention to Best in Show to our Pathfinder experience. Because we kind of broke the game, which was awesome.
That was actually a lot of fun.
It was more...
We derailed that, and the DM was just like, fuck it, let's go with the way you guys are taking it.
Well, it was awesome because they had this, the way that they had the Pathfinder room set up. So for those who don't know, Pathfinder is basically D&D 3.75. But they had these rooms set up, and you were supposed to go through these. There was like six different scenarios. You're supposed to play through these scenarios in order to get a little check mark and then roll some dice for some prizes. But we were the last ones of the night for this dude. And he had been DMing for like 2 days straight, like 10 groups a day. Like, so he was a little burned out. You could tell when we sat down at the table, he was a little burned out. So anyway, we're supposed to go investigate this crash site. And And then, like, he's like, so what do you want to do? And I was like, well, let's go to the pub, because that's what we always do in our D&D adventures. We always go to the pub. That's what we right. do. So we go to the pub. I'm playing a druid woman. I kind of sweet talk this dude into letting us into this mine, which apparently was not part of the story at all, even though it was part of the setup. So we go to, we break into the mine. What?
But before this happens, yeah. two of our members get kicked out at the bar. One, because Nick, who's playing a ninja, tries to sneak up when you're sweet talking this guy and give him, quote, secret kisses.
Yeah.
He tries to stealth kiss this guy so that to like enhance your ability to sweet talk him, and the guy notices.
Yeah. And then he gets kicked out. And
I was like, what the fuck are these guys talking about? Secret kisses?
I just love that he made him roll secret kisses.
Yeah. He had to roll for his secret kisses and he failed.
And then the other guy tried to cast magic on him and then he noticed it, so he got really pissed off and almost killed that guy.
KO'd him.
So anyway, at this point, I'm like, let's go to the mines. And so he had like this map that was on the table that was of the crash site that we were supposed to go to. And he's like, all right, guys, we're going to the mines. And he just like sweeps up this map into his, and he's like, fuck it, let's just go. What are we doing? And we end up, the end of the night, ends up, Jesse, like, was a wizard. He burned through this safe and we were able to steal all of these valuable discs. Then the two guys who got thrown out earlier show up. And then it's like a showdown. Mm-hmm. And so you die, right? You died first.
Yeah. What happened was, I tried to bluff and be like, we didn't get anything, and they called my bluff, and then I tried to cast a magic missile, and then he puts us all on the board, and apparently I was right next to him, yeah. So, like, he just kicked my ass.
Yeah.
And I tried to, like, bluff him as I died, but I had to run, to go to the ferry, so as soon as that happened, I just had to bounce.
Right.
Otherwise, I was going to have to wait till 12:30 for... to catch the last ferry.
Exactly. So you left.
After that, that's why I sprinted to the ferry.
Oh, no. Did you make it?
I did.
Okay, good. So you died, and I think another guy in the party died before you died.
No, I was the only dead one by the time I left.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. So you left after you died. And then the guy was like, well, we kind of did everything we needed to do, so
yeah,
if you want me to
sign your
sheets.
Saying that.
And I was like, well, let's at least play out the round, because we all had initiative rolled.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, all right, let's do it. So I was next, and I step up, and I'm like, hey, guys, let's calm down a little bit here. And then as I said that, I gave a knowing glance to my leopard, which is my familiar, and then he pounced on the other guy's neck and bit him in the neck and killed him.
Nice.
And then it was Jim's turn, and Jim's like, I'm going to make some tea and try to calm everything down a little bit. And the DM's like, yeah, that's going to take more than 6 seconds. So you start making tea. And then the last one was Jesse's turn. Jesse's the other Jesse, the woman Jesse. And she just stabs Nick and kills him. So at the end of the day, it was me and Jimmy and Jesse, and we have a bunch of these valuable discs that we stole, and then we just like peace out and we leave the teapot boiling, and the end of the night was like, and that was the beginning of the Teapot Bandits. It was such a good night, and the guy was so stoked. Like, really, the DM was so happy that like he was able to actually just DM something instead of put somebody on railroads.
Yeah,
so,
he had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, that was great. I think that's actually best of PAX for me. That's
there
a good
go.
Memorable experience. We also played two games of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
So that was super fun, but I get so worked up in Game of Thrones. David.
You were being a bit of a pill.
I get so worked up.
Yeah. Here's my position I was in.
Uh-huh.
I'm being asked to do all the rules interpretation the entire game, and when I make a call that goes against you, oh my god, the fury.
Well, I was just super bummed because it was such an ambiguous situation that was not covered in the rules.
No, it wasn't. But it was time to move on.
It was time to move on. And I eventually moved on.
But I like my house rule idea.
Which is what?
Where you accumulate victory points every turn based off of where you are on the victory track. So it's not just a Wild West turn 10 where who knows.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with Game of Thrones, a board game. It is a supremely engaging experience for like 3 to 4 hours. But the end game is so anticlimactic. It's just like, well,
super anticlimactic.
Well, we just, I guess we stop the game now.
That's why I think that accumulating victory points would make it a lot more interesting.
Yeah, and it would also spur a lot more combat, I think.
It would spur more combat, and it would spur more makeshift alliances when one player... Because you can kind of just like sit on, you know, 5 castles the whole game, and you're not a threat until the end of the game, and then you get ganged up on. But it would be more people like, hey, he's running away with it here. We need to stop him.
Yeah.
And more alliances being formed, and more opportunistic backstabbing resulting from that, I think.
Yeah, because that happens in the game, but it doesn't happen until the last, like, 2 turns. Is, oh, this guy's running away with it, we need to stop him.
Right, and then it sucks, because you do well the entire game, and then 4 people attack you, and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, anyway, Game of Thrones.
Still a good game, man.
We'll play it next year.
Yeah. So anyway, that's PAX, man. I had a great PAX. Got to finish it off with a Magic draft last night, or Monday night. Super fun. Fun PAX, guys.
Yeah, I was not having much fun yesterday.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Happens.
All right, well, I want to move on, but I want to move on to just a little tiny bit of science news before we get to our Facebook roundup this week.
Yeah, okay, let's... We can skip the...
Yeah, we'll skip trivia.
Trivia.
I feel like we're a little dry on trivia. I need to go to Goodwill and get a new trivia.
There you go.
A couple of very interesting things here. First of all, this one comes from this is a bit of a follow up science news. This
sex comes, geckos.
Oh yeah, man! Did you see this?
Yeah.
Tragic.
Mm.
So I'm sure you listened a couple weeks ago. We talked about the Russian sex geckos who were having sex in space, but apparently the Russian space experiments on gecko sex goes awry, and these little green guys came back dead.
Some of our greatest cosmonauts.
Some of our greatest cosmonauts. The cutest thing about this is they put them in little orange suits. It's super cute.
Mm-hmm.
Space is a dangerous place. That's what it says. That message resonated again on Monday when the Russian Federal Space Agency announced that a team of experimental geckos tasked with copulating while in orbit did not survive their journey. All geckos, unfortunately, died.
It'd be weirder if just one survived.
Yeah, well, I don't understand, man. I mean, you're putting them in extreme conditions, and like I mean, I don't think they're putting them in little spacesuits. I don't understand how they're supposed to survive reentry.
Presumably the capsule will take care of it.
Yeah, but like if you're not strapped in, that's the. I mean, like astronauts get strapped the fuck in when they go into reentry. If you're just a little bouncing gecko, you're screwed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And really, the thing about this is, I don't think that the Cosmos, the Roscosmos, who are the Russian space agency, I don't think they're expecting them to survive. And that's where the real tragedy lies. I mean, if you're going to send geckos into space and then watch them have sex, you better bring them back safe. Deal with it. I just think that that this gecko situation was a tragedy just waiting to begin. And I am happy that they were able to wrangle in the satellite, because last time we checked in on these guys, they were just copulating out in the middle of nowhere, aimlessly flying through space. They were able to track them down, but maybe they would have been better off if they just would have floated off into the cosmos
and had
a little space sleep.
Well, sad day.
Sad day for...
Expect the flags at half-mast.
Exactly. Sad day for Russian space geckos.
It's a Geico flag.
Exactly. But there's also another great story that also has to do with alien, or not alien, but terrestrial animal cells. Check this out, Jesse. Gainesville, Florida. University of Florida scientist has grown a living brain that can fly a simulated plane, giving scientists a novel way to observe how brain cells function as a network. The brain, a collection of 25,000 living neurons or nerve cells, taken from a rat's brain and cultured inside a glass dish gives scientists a unique real-time window into the brain at the cellular level. So they took these brain cells, they took these neurons, and they were able to program them to fly a flight simulator.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's insane.
I still don't really get it.
I don't get it either. But the fact of the matter is the ramifications of this, if they were actually to pull this off, like, you could make a machine that has literally neurons in it that could respond to different situations.
This sounds a lot like the movie Stealth starring Jamie Foxx.
Is that what this is?
I think we're in a stealth situation.
Did you watch this movie?
In the theater. I did.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Uh-huh.
You watched Stealth in the theater.
You didn't?
Why?
Why not? I think it was because I was, I guess I was just out of high school, but mm-hmm. taking a girl on a date, and I was like, well, let's just watch whatever movie.
Right. You know that you're all in on the viral marketing for Stealth.
It's true. It's Jamie Foxx, man.
I'm just saying, dude, brain cells as some kind of intelligent machine. Like, we're pointing toward either quantum computing or, you know, super fast computing. But what if we just freaking use brain cells to compute?
Isn't that what the Matrix was?
Is it?
I think so.
No, I think the Matrix... I think the Matrix was... I mean, they're just using human bodies as batteries for the robots.
How did... I mean, the human body is not a super efficient battery. What were they, like, force-feeding cheeseburgers into it somehow?
I'm just saying, yeah, it's a lot easier to feed a human body than it is to mine alkaline metals. That's just my perspective.
I guess. I'd say maybe it was both. I mean, use that brain as a computer and feed it cheeseburgers.
I love it. I just want to know more about this, and I'm happy it's happening at the University of Florida.
Why do our fighter planes keep saying, give me more cheeseburgers, please?
Can I have more cheeseburgers?
Yeah, exactly. God damn it, give Steve more cheeseburgers.
Why are you calling him Steve? He told me that was his name.
I asked for a missile lock and he just says Steve wants more cheeseburgers.
All right, Jesse, let's get the Facebook roundup because we got a ton this week.
All right.
Very excited about it. Starting off with Simons. He says, hey guys, I've recently started listening to your podcast, and I can't stop telling my friends how amazing it is. Thank you, Simon. Now I want to talk movies. Recently, it was announced that Dwayne The Rock Johnson will indeed be playing Black Adam in the not-yet-announced Shazam movie. My questions for you are, what do you think of this pairing? Who would you have play Shazam? And how would you like the story to be told on the screen? Thanks, guys. Stay arrogant and get up my back.
I feel like... Dwayne The Rock Johnson's just a little distracting.
He's super distracting.
I feel like any movie he's in, he's Dwayne... The Rock as Hercules or
it's
so
like,
on.
He's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like,
right,
Arnold
yeah,
Schwarzenegger isn't going to be cast in The English Patient.
He's himself first and then the character second.
Which is why Mr. Freeze sucked. That's not the only reason, but it had a big part to do with it. So I'm a little worried about it, honestly. But
so this is a DC movie.
Yeah, so do you know the story of Shazam?
It's Captain Marvel, right?
Yes.
Right. I only barely know it.
So it's like a kid. That's the whole thing about Shazam, is he's like 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But he could say the word Shazam and he turns into Captain Marvel, which is confusing because he's owned by DC, but Captain Marvel predated DC, and that's why, or Captain Marvel predated Marvel Comics, and that's why they can call him Captain Marvel. But they won't call him Captain Marvel in the movie, because that would make people confused.
Is that how it was? I thought it was like Marvel put out Captain Marvel as a response to Superman, and then DC like sued them because it was too similar to Superman and won the rights to Captain Marvel.
Is that right?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think the Captain Marvel predates Marvel Comics.
I don't know. I'll look it up. Go on.
Anyway, but I really think what should happen here is that they should go with the new iteration of Captain Marvel, which has been released by DC, which is a woman. Like, I think this is a perfect opportunity to have a woman headlining a superhero movie. Because nobody knows about Shazam or Captain Marvel. So why not make Captain Marvel a woman?
Yeah. No, that's a great idea.
I think that that works.
You might as well do it. I only know Captain Marvel from Kingdom Come.
Interesting. Okay, so Wiz Comics, 1939 was his first appearance, Captain Marvel. And that was the National Comics line, so that would have been DC. National Comics became DC.
Here, I got the paragraph.
Okay.
Fawcett ceased publishing Captain Marvel-related comics in 1953, partly because of copyright infringement suit from DC Comics, alleging that Captain Marvel was a copy of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
In 72, DC licensed the Marvel family characters from Fawcett and returned them to publication, acquiring all rights to the characters in 91. DC has since integrated Captain Marvel and the Marvel family into the DC universe. So they didn't win rights to Marvel, but...
Sorry, it was Fossil Comics. Or Fawcett Publications. Fawcett.
Yeah, and then they had to stop because of a...
Weird.
Copyright infringement.
So that's interesting. I don't know if that's the same one, but... so you know The Watchmen? That was also an acquisition by DC. From a different comics company. And, like, all the characters in The Watchmen are from a different comic book company that was purchased by DC, but then when they saw what Alan Moore was doing with all the characters, they changed all of them slightly because they didn't want them to become canon because it was too racy.
So due to long-standing trademark conflicts over another character named Captain Marvel, owned by Marvel Comics, DC Comics renamed their character Shazam after relaunching their comic book in 2011.
Interesting.
So there's another Captain Marvel owned by Marvel.
Okay. Well, that's not confusing at all.
No. It's probably a good move. They just renamed it Shazam.
Yeah. But yeah, so, yeah, and then...
Wait, but isn't there a movie with Shaq called Shazam?
Yes. But that's about a genie.
Well, this is another wrinkle in this.
Yeah, so also just with the Watchmen thing, in 1985, DC Comics acquired a line of characters from Charlton Comics, and they basically gave all those comics to Alan Moore, but then when they saw what he did with them, they wanted to differentiate themselves from the Charlton line, and that's why they renamed all the characters and reskinned them. But the most famous one, I think, is The Question, which became Rorschach. Little comic book history. I don't think we actually answered the question, Simon, but hopefully we enlightened you.
Went down the rabbit hole, at least.
We definitely went down it. That was good. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. David says, favorite disease, Jesse?
Pax crud?
I think swine flu, man. I had it. It's definitely left a mark on my life. I don't want to ever have it again.
Well, you're immune now.
I guess so. Until the next. Mitch says, PAX, I assume you've already talked about it, so my job is done here. Nice job, Mitch. Good foresight. Rachel says, what is your silver lining for the day? Jesse?
I'm still employed, and people are donating to my Kickstarter campaign, so that's good.
I think that's good enough for me, too. Joe says, board game expansion. Thank you, Rachel, for being positive, though. Joe says, board game expansions. I've always hesitated to buy a game with a lot of expansions because I want it to be fun and not a money suck. Do you buy them or just play the base game? What is your most and least favorite expansions? I don't think expansions shy me away from a game. But
no, it's kind of a sign that the game is good, but you don't have to buy them.
Yeah, I mean, I bought a couple of Arkham Horror expansions. I bought Kingsport Horror, and I bought the King in Yellow expansion. I actually really like the King in Yellow expansion because it's a small box expansion. But yeah, that's kind of it. I haven't bought any Carcassonne expansions, even though it has like a million of them.
Yeah,
but I think I just think, like you said, it's a sign that the game is good and popular that they're able to print more things that are associated with it.
Yeah. I really like the Farmers on the Moor expansion for Agricola. I never play without it now, so.
Yeah. I think
that's my favorite.
I don't think anybody was like, don't buy this game because you need to buy this expansion with it, or else it won't be fun. If they're printing expansions, then the base game's already fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wonder what game there is that, like, you need the expansion.
I don't know,
man. It sucks until you get the expansion.
I don't know. I mean, even, like, Battlestar Galactica, like, I would never even think to buy an expansion for that game.
No, unless I played it way more often.
Yeah. Because that base game is so good. Dennis says, as a Richmond, Virginia native, I am quite excited that Richmond is in the final three cities for the new East Coast Stone Brewery. If you could have one brewery open a branch in your town, which would it be? That's a good question.
I don't think I can answer this. It would probably be bad news for me if another brewery like expanded into my town.
If I could get a satellite here in Seattle, I think I would have to go with. Oh God, it's so tough. I mean, Deschutes is a good answer because their stuff on tap is so good. But I think I'm gonna have to go with another Bend, Oregon brewery and go with Good Life. If there was a Good Life in like Fremont, I would fucking rock that shit all day.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Stone would also be legit. He says, also going to enjoy watching my Packers beat up on you guys tomorrow night. That's a lie, Dennis. You're a liar. Titus says, trash talking the Seahawks doesn't end well. You're right, Titus. I call you a liar if you do. I'm very excited about putting more sanitary stuff on your guys' faces as we move forward.
Awesome. I'm going to get a freaking super soaker next year. Just destroy you.
That would hurt so bad if it got in your eyeballs.
You started this.
I know. You started this war.
You reap what you sow.
You gave me no choice but to end it. Oh, geez, where are we? Okay. Anthony says, best player, pun, names for fantasy football teams. Mine right now is Good Shob, Good Eifert. The best I've ever seen was my friend who had Skittles, Taste Dwayne Bow.
That's really good.
Taste Dwayne Bow. That one is amazing.
Yeah, I
can't top that one. Skittles, Taste Dwayne Bow.
Yeah, you'll never beat that.
James Parson says, the Russian sex geckos came back, but they all died.
Mm.
Also, personal arrogance NFL preview. P.S. How is Borderlands 2 at PAX? I played Borderlands 2. It's Borderlands. If you like Borderlands, this is Borderlands. I feel like that's an honorable mention for Worst in Show, is nerfing the demos. It's okay if people die in demos. That's not a bad thing. I played the Borderlands 2 demo. They started you at level 41 with, like, amazing weapons. It's like, I would rather kind of work my way into this, but I guess they only give you, like, 15 minutes to play, so. But yeah, if you like Borderlands, you'll love Borderlands, a pre-sequel. You get to play as the freaking robot dude, Claptrap. So, that's awesome. Zach says, if you could get rid of one state, which would it be? I vote North Dakota.
Uh-oh.
It isn't real anyways. This guy's starting a war. Flame war.
Mm.
North Dakota, definitely not on my top of my list.
No way.
I feel like if you're going to get rid of a state, you got to get rid of... Oh, God. I feel like... Where do we not have any listeners?
Washington?
Yeah, I guess Washington.
I'd say Delaware, because it's like, where?
Exactly. Delaware?
Yeah.
And plus, it's tiny. I mean, I know Rhode Island's small, but Delaware's, like, almost as small as Rhode Island. And I feel like Delaware could become part of Connecticut, and no one would balk an eye, even though it is still the first state in the nation. That's why I say Washington. Get rid of Washington, and Oregon, and British Columbia, and make them one state. The South will teach the North how to drive, and we have our own country that's full of prosperity and technology.
There you go.
That's what I say. Sean says, I almost emailed you guys today, but figured it was too late. Now, I'm positive it is, but you're still my BFFs. Hashtag Hitchbot is love. Hashtag Hitchbot is life. Oh, my God. I love Hitchbot so much. Oh, God. Thank
Send
you for
him
reminding
into
me
space
that
on a sex mission.
Hitchbot impregnated 12 alien races with this sexy Wikipedia talk. John says, guys,
he's super fascinating to aliens.
Super fascinating. He's got a wealth of world of earthly knowledge.
Earthly knowledge indeed.
All right. John says, guys, everything for Lovecraft Brewing Company looks and sounds amazing. I'll be telling everyone I know for sure. I hope one day I'll be able to afford the custom brew day and take the trip out. Will the offer stand after the Kickstarter ends?
No, you got to buy now.
Buy now. Kickstarter. Lovecraft Brewing Company on Kickstarter, guys. Do it. Robert says, The Rock is playing Black Adam. Jeez. And the DCU movie Shazam Captain movie. In the DCU movie, Shazam Captain Marvel movie. I think it's perfect casting, but I was wondering if that even hit your radar. It did hit my radar. Hit my radar a little bit earlier on the Facebook Roundup.
Flip.
Boop. No, it did. Derek says, dude, go get Buffalo. Get their D. You need it. I don't care which one, or Levi. Just do it. Apparently, Buffalo. I think Buffalo is still available in the Arrogant Move League as a defense.
Buffalo D.
Buffalo D. I took him today in a draft. I finished all my fantasy drafts. I'm in four different leagues.
Jesus Christ.
Malcolm says prediction on Packers versus Seahawks. As a Packer fan, I hope we will destroy. Eric, what teams make the playoffs in both divisions? Both divisions. You mean all divisions? Love you guys.
I think both conferences.
So I think the Seahawks will win because they've only lost one home game in the last 2 years.
I think Seahawks win by three.
I think the Seahawks win by a controversial touchdown. I do think the Packers will win the NFC North. I think that the Eagles will win the NFC East. I think that the Saints will win the NFC South. I think that the Chargers, yes, you heard me right, the Chargers will win the AFC West. I think that the Bengals will win the AFC North. I think that the Patriots will win the AFC East. And I think that the Colts will win the AFC South. No surprises there, guys, but that's what you get when you ask me questions.
There you go.
All right, dude, that's Facebook Roundup. Let's do some recos. I think we could basically just recommend one thing just to cap off the show. And that's Lovecraft Brewing Company, guys, on
cleansing.
Kickstarter.
Oh.
What's that?
Cleansing.
Cleansing.
The fad that sweeps the nation. No, so Lovecraft Brewing Company Kickstarter, please. It means everything to me right now.
Yes, guys. It's great. If we, I did the math, and, you know, basically we need 5 supporters a day to get to the goal.
Which is a lot.
It's a lot. But you guys can make it happen. Like I said, if you haven't given yet, please give early, and please give often. That it's just like our iTunes reviews. Like it helps to get the word out, and then strangers actually will give. So that's good.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to be a salesman, but guys, this is super important to the podcast. So please do it. And we love you so much. Please keep in touch. personalergots@gmail.com. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. 360-362-0024. We're on Twitter @personalpodcast. Rate and view us on iTunes, and please check out baldmove.com for a ton of great podcast content. Jesse, thanks so much for joining me this week.
Mm-hmm.
And until next week, remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please stay arrogant.